Welcome to episode one of That Got Awkward, where I talk to folks and ask them questions about things that I'm kind of interested in and possibly make them feel a little uncomfortable or creepy. This first episode is sponsored by no one, because I don't have a sponsor yet. But if you'd like to sponsor this podcast and be heard by literally dozens of people, then drop me a line, let me know, because I could certainly use the money. Thank you for listening, and here's episode one of That Got Awkward. Hey!
Hey, all right.
There we go.
Ah, technology.
I know. And the Google Plus stuff being slightly different from the Google Hangouts just confuses me immensely. Normally what I do is I go on chat roulette and just grab random people, and that's hilarious, but...
I saw that, actually. I was watching. It's difficult. Like, I keep wanting to look at your face, which is not looking at the camera, so it's disconcerting. I'm trying to be like a good person and look at the camera instead of at you.
That's something that distinguishes me from professional YouTubers. I have a tendency to look at the face that's talking, which is often my face, right there.
Oh, down there. Exactly. I'm looking at you right there.
So it's like talking to somebody who's, because, you know, it's just a little bit, I got to move my camera down so it's right at the eyes so I can figure out how to do that.
Well, unfortunately, I can't do that with the Mac, so.
Well, I've got a pretty elaborate rig up here with, I've got three different machines to break on me, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
The more the hairier.
Exactly. All right. Well, let me tell you what
I can do a little ad for Orangina if I'd like. Right. Yeah. That's like the best stuff in the world.
Not sponsored by the best drink in the world.
not sponsored by this.
What this is simply I chat with people. And hopefully it's entertaining and enlightening for people. I may use clips for advertising purposes and things of that nature, but it tends to be fairly softball. I'm not going to ask you if you've stopped beating your wife, that sort of thing.
No, but I poke her with a sword twice a week. So
I saw some of that fencing. That's nostalgic. are you still like competing?
I haven't competed in a while just because it's too fucking expensive. Yeah. But actually we have a tournament coming up Halloween, I think this coming weekend.
Oh yeah.
The Halloween Open, the good old Halloween Open. So she's going to compete in that. I'm just going to watch.
Yeah. I tried to fence with my kids when we were back in Virginia about a year ago. Under the delusion that I wasn't nearly as old and fat as I am. I went through like four or five practices, and with the asthma and the joints, I just sit and watch.
Yeah, you kids go on without me.
So, I've heard that you've been acting out there in Virginia. How does that work in Virginia? Because you know, I'm out here in Cali now, but I've been in Virginia and not as familiar with how that works.
It's not nearly as consistent as California, that's for sure. Virginia's a weird market. I mean, I've been technically, I guess, acting since 2000, and I actually moved out to LA for a little while, and that went poorly. I don't regret anything, because it was fun, it was a great experience, but I was way too inexperienced to have... actually, technically, my goal was to go to Portland, Oregon, and...
you missed!
I missed by a good 1,000 miles. I had a friend that lived in Santa Monica, and so I coincided, actually, my trip from Virginia with Nationals, 2000 Nationals in Austin, Texas. So I meandered down and ended up in Austin for a week or so and did the tournament and then meandered out to California. I was going to stay with my friend for a week and then move up to Portland, Oregon. Never made it out of Santa Monica. So
Well, it's a nice place.
It's a beautiful place, and I can, you know, it's a great place if you're homeless. It's a really, really wonderful place because it's warm most of the time. Of course, my first year there, I had a scooter. I had to sell my van because I couldn't afford the $2,000 a year insurance to insure it. So I had a scooter, which I figure, hey, Southern California, it never rains, right? It was the rainiest year they had had in a decade or more, that winter. It was miserable. It rained all the fucking time. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the one time that a scooter would not suit.
No, it did not. But you asked me about Virginia, so I'm waxing nostalgic about Los Angeles. Yeah, there's a couple things going on around here, mainly up in Richmond. Turn, was it AMC Channel? The Washington Spies thing that films up there, and had a couple auditions for that, but no bites yet. And there's another Civil War drama called Point of Honor, I think is the name of it, that's being filmed up there as well. But in this area, it's just kind of hit or miss, you know? It's just one of those things. It's a difficult market.
Do you get, branch out and do voice work and that sort of thing, or
trying to. I have a reel from a few years ago that's not that great. I'm trying to update it, make it a little bit better. In fact, if I had a more mobile camera, I would show you the voiceover booth that I just built in my apartment.
Oh, cool.
Not quite finished with it yet. I still have to construct the door, but and I'm not sure what the soundproof qualities will be until I have it all built. It's one of those you can't really tell until it's done, and then if it doesn't work, well, okay. Got a nice little private booth.
We have a new closet.
Yeah, exactly. Put up a couple of rods up there and put clothes in it.
How do you...
Yeah, I'm trying to... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
How do you sort of break into voiceover work?
I don't know yet. When I find out, I'll let you know.
You're still sort of working into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's it's gotten much more competitive now because of technology. I mean, prior, I don't know, I guess in the past 10 years, 15 years or so, you know, you had to have a studio that had ISDN.
Right.
You could connect anywhere in the world, blah, blah, blah. And now you can have a booth in your house. And depending on the kind of work that you want to get into doing or what you are doing, you don't need to find a studio. You know, your home is your studio. Okay. But ISDN, as old as the technology is, it is stupidly expensive to get started.
Yeah.
The box itself, just to get started, the codec is $5,000. Then you have to get it installed, monthly fees, blah, 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 blah. So it's a bit cost prohibitive.
Right.
There's other what do you call it, web-based stuff to do out there, but it's not widely... It's not widespread, so most studios aren't going to abandon the tried and true ISDN to do something that they really don't know if will work. So,
are you doing much independent stuff, indie kind of work?
Mainly.
Well, that's kind of why I got into this YouTube stuff, because that's really... is the quality of stuff that people are doing is so much better than it used to be. It used to be equal to public access. But do you do more... Which do you prefer, acting or directing, if you had your druthers?
Oh, wow. I prefer to be in front of the camera and actually act. I've tried my hand a couple times at directing, and while it's fun... It's definitely not something that I've even come close to hitting a stride and feel like that I'm competent at it.
Okay.
I mean, right now, at least for me, I don't know how this is for... I guess it's true for other people as well, but you're only as good as the people around you. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of people who give me good input. So, you know, the stuff that has my name on it as a director, I directed it, but I had a lot of help, so... You know, God bless them.
that's one thing I've liked about out here in California, because there are a lot more creative folks out here than I used to hang out with, and Unfortunately, I'm still in IT, so the level of creativity is it is good having folks around. Unfortunately, most of what I do is all by myself and dog. So he's very good at not critiquing.
But. Well, you know, it's a language barrier, I'm sure.
Is there anything you're currently working on, or anything you'd like to mention?
Let's see. Not exactly. I know one thing I'm working on. You can edit this out if you don't want to mention this, but your short story. I am. So who the hell am I? I'm a friend of yours, Tim. I'm seriously. I know I said this almost a year ago, but I'm seriously really trying to almost get things done as much as possible so I can actually begin to get moving on some way, shape, or form of that. I'm hoping the next 6 months or so. I am working on, I'm in the writing process, which I'm not a great writer, so I'm trying to get somebody else to help me with that, a kids show, animation-based, because there's not a lot of that in this area. I know Regent, they have a couple things. VeggieTales is wildly popular. I've never seen it, so I don't really know a whole lot about it, except for, you know, it's a kid show, a cartoon. And they do another thing. It's actually, I just filmed a commercial for it, and I'm drawing a blank right now. Superbook. It's called Superbook or something, and that's more kind of the digital animation, not so much like the old cartoon style. So I want to do something kind of in that vein, geared more towards kids, but history based, more like ancient.
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
I think that would be that'd be good, because there's not a lot of decent stuff for kids out there.
No, and I've been reaching out to friends of mine who are parents. Because I'm not one, so I have no idea what kids, you know, are enamored of. So trying to get their point of view, and hey, what do your kids watch? What are your kids interested in? And, you know, what do you think is lacking? Just trying to do some rudimentary research work on it. But I'm hoping within the next year or so, because we know someone who does animation, and partly using it as a vehicle for voiceover and for acting. So, hey, create your own content. If no one will hire you for theirs, create your own.
That's the thing for these days. And, you know, that's, for some people, that's working really well. And back when I was younger and, you know, would love to have been able to do this, you would fail miserably because you just couldn't afford to get anything decent. But, you know, you've got Felicia Day and the Guild.
Oh, that's so funny, yeah.
She's basically written her own ticket, and she's doing great. Hugh Howey with his wool books. He started, you know, self-publishing, and now he's making, like, all the money. And you've got all of it. It's all going.
All of it. It's not in Fort Knox. It's in his bank account.
Exactly. You've got the YouTube gaming thing that I do for fun. There are people who make, you know, thousands of dollars a month just playing games.
Wow.
Jenna Marbles, who, you know, is wildly successful. I read an article, she's worth about $2.5 million. And she,
well, you
just
know, it's funny though, that with the name like that though, I'm sorry, but that just has to be porn somewhere involved. Jenna Marbles.
Yeah. Well, her real last name is something else. Her dog's name is Marbles. So,
oh, okay.
And I think she started in modeling or something like that and figured, oh, I'll just get online and talk.
Don't they all?
Yeah. That's if it were porn, I could go, oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
Oh, I would never do that, but I'll model, sure.
She's got, like, more subscribers than there are people on the planet. It's amazing. And it's, some of these people are, but it's because they're filling a void. There's such crappy content overall that you can produce your own, you can put it out there, and you can be successful on your own merits. And that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not successful on merits, but other people can.
Well, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, isn't it? I mean, and the scary part as well, is that it all depends on you and your creativity.
Yeah.
It's you pass or fail based on that. I mean, there's nobody propping you up. I guess it could be, but I don't know. If you put the camera high enough, you can't see them propping you up,
right.
So it works pretty well. But yeah, that's pretty exciting. But it's like, I don't know. It's how do you break through that clutter as well?
Yeah.
And I think you break through that barrier by quality, because the quality of that cream will rise to the top, hopefully.
Yes.
It's like, you know, everybody who has a camera, a digital camera now, is a photographer. And there's some people who use lower quality equipment and get really beautiful results. So it still comes down to the creativity and who's actually producing it, instead of, you know, you can have $100,000 cinema camera and still pour out crap.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of that out there.
Very much so.
YouTube and ebooks are filled with junk, because just because you can put something out there doesn't mean you should. But
yeah, and then you can call yourself a published author.
Yeah, I got on a big thread online, I think on LinkedIn's authors forum, asking people, do you think that when somebody calls themselves a published author, it kind of means they did it themselves, and it sucks, because you don't hear Stephen King calling himself a published author.
Right.
And I got a little bit of hate mail for that.
It's like, how do you know? I mean, there's so many things, and like, and I guess it's true in the film world too. When you look at somebody's resume, or you look at web credits and things like that, I'm not bagging on anyone, especially in this area or whatever. I don't want any hate mail or anything from that, because you know, you do what you can do, and everybody has to fluff things, especially initially to get that. But it's like, it's almost like this little joke that everybody kind of winks and nods, because they know you're bullshitting. They know you're fluffing. They know it's all bullshit. But it's very impolite to say so. So you just kind of smile and nod and pass on. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess you have to deal with that in the publishing world as well and everything.
Oh, yeah. That's why when somebody says they're a published author, you immediately turn to your other computer or your keyboard, and you Google them, and you go, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, this actor is known for a blah, 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 blah. I'm like, fuck, am I just out of the loop and I don't know what that just is? Let me Google. Oh, shit, it was a short from Santa Monica Film School. Okay, yeah, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's basically what they call their family reunion videos. Okay.
Yes, I was the editor and producer of that. Great.
Yeah. That's funny, because I can relate so much to that.
Who can't? If you're in the creative field at all, who can't, right?
Yeah. So let's see. I don't take notes or write down questions, so I can't remember if there's anything I wanted to ask you. Is there anything you wanted to...
I don't write down answers.
Exactly. It's all recording. I don't have to take notes. I'll just go back and go, I should have asked something else. So do you plan on ever coming back out to L.A.?
Right now, actually, I guess, what was it, a couple of months ago, I signed with an agency down in Atlanta. So with them, I'm exclusive for all the Southeast except for Virginia. Sorry for my other agents, but whatever. So I've gotten a couple of auditions, video auditions, thank God. I didn't have to drive all the way down to Atlanta for, you know, 15 seconds. probably going to go there first if we move anywhere. I mean, granted, my wife's mainly from here. I mean, she pretty much grew up here, and I grew up here and lived elsewhere, but we're comfortable here, but it's just really difficult to make a living in this industry. And that's one reason why I'm trying to branch out more in the voiceover, because it can be done from home or it can be done local, and there's more of that. But probably my first step would be Atlanta and seeing what happens there. But I would like to live back out in L.A. because I do miss it. A lot.
Yeah.
Took about a year and a half to get over the culture shock, and then You know, it's funny. I never really got over. My first apartment was in an 8-story building, and I was on top. And if I looked out my window, I could see the Hollywood sign. And that was actually a really good barometer of how the smog was, because if I couldn't see the sign, it's not a good day for smog. If I could see the sign, hey, it was all right. It's good. It's gonna be a good day. The asthma's not gonna kick my ass. But I never really got over the whole. Occasionally, I would drive around, and I'm like, fuck, I'm really in L.A.
Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I still do that. I mean, we live in Santa Clarita, which, mm-hmm. L.A. they is like a 3,000-mile orb. It's
yeah,
County, even though you're 2 hours away from L.A. Right. but still, we sometimes go, wow, I can't believe we're here, because I've spent most of my life in Virginia. Mm-hmm. She's either been most of her time in the U.S. has been in Virginia. But we came out here because we couldn't get some IT work in Virginia, and it's like, wow, this is very different.
Yeah.
I've suddenly become both polite and conservative when I came out here, whereas in Virginia I was rude and liberal. I haven't changed, but...
So how's that culture shock working out for you?
I'm not only am I now... conservative and polite, I'm also a minority. So the first time that I'm the guy that stands out, my wife and kids are all little brown people, and the whole everybody around is some form of mix or other culture, and
hey,
white bread. it's been different, but it's not been bad. One thing I wanted to ask you, you said you'd signed with an agent. How do you sign with an agent? I know it's with writing, it's ungodly difficult. You have to have like a published novel and then you get your agent. How does it work in acting?
That's the conundrum, isn't it? The catch-22. Like, well, you have to have a body of work before we'll actually hire you for a body of work.
Yeah, right.
Figure that one out, won't ya?
Exactly.
You can get into our magic club.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Fuck you. Not you. You know what I mean. Well, in this area, in Virginia, it's not difficult to get an agent. There are a few in the area, and I want to tread lightly. I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but there's a very large pool of people, and you have to... you'll have more than one agent in this area. I mean, I have three. And they don't compete too much with... I've never been in that unfortunate position of, you know, somebody submitting me for a role and then the other agent submitting me for the same role and having to, like, sorry, which one do I go with? Or, I'm sorry, I was already submitted. All the agents in this area know how it works, so there's usually no hard feelings with that. In Atlanta, and that one... I'm sorry. In this area, there's no exclusivity. I can say that. I'm going to try one more. Exclusivity. No, I can't say it. Never mind.
I was waiting to see how it sounded.
Yeah. Just like manipulate it so it sounds somewhat coherent. You have multiple agents in this area. And like in L.A., you can have an agent. You can have multiple agents, but the way they work is you have a commercial agent, and then you can have another agent that does theatrical, and then another agent that does there's something else, maybe theater, that sort of thing. But then some agents do what's called across the board, so they will represent you for everything, but you can only have them within a certain. I think it's like maybe a 200-mile radius or something like that. So theoretically, you could have an agent in San Diego and an agent. In Los Angeles for the same thing, like for commercials, since those are two distinct markets. Here you can have as many as there are in the area, and then it gets kind of fun. But in Atlanta, I'm exclusive with them, and like I said, it's very recent, so I've only gotten a couple of auditions from them, and nothing's worked out yet. But that's okay. It's just a matter of numbers and plugging away, and you know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's easier than writing.
I find the whole writing process impossible anyhow, so I'd much rather be an actor than try to survive as a writer, that's for sure.
Well, luckily, things are changing, and you don't always need an agent, but you get this feeling of, well, if I had somebody like pushing for me, then maybe I would get out there. So in order to get you to push for me, I've got to finish a novel and get somebody to give me an offer for it, and then you'll come in and take 15%. Oh, okay. It's terrible. But
please allow me to allow you to take 15% of my income. Please, right. I'm begging you. Please.
Right. It's now I'm told that for nonfiction, it can be a little easier. It's just I've written some nonfiction. It's just a little boring. I like something more interesting. I mean, nonfiction pace more steady.
Yeah.
Fiction is a lot more fun. But
when you say nonfiction, what does that include? Is that like journalism, scientific books, IT books, that sort of thing?
It's been like technical articles about internet crap.
There's no end to the list that you can write about with crap on the internet, that's for sure.
I've done things like the use of WAP technology for an enterprise application. And when I would be assigned these, and I'd go, I don't know what the hell that is. So I'd have to
Google. My eyes glazing over already?
Exactly. And I mean, I'll start falling asleep while I'm writing it. the checks didn't bounce. And it's like, okay, that's a writing credit. And the weird thing is, for most of these, they're like work for hires. So I don't really get residuals or royalties or anything like that, which is a shame because I have found my boring technical work used all across the internet on everything from how-tos to University of Phoenix has one of my articles in their syllabus for one of their IT classes.
Wow.
Don't get a dime for that.
I'm sure the novelty of that wears off very quickly when you realize how much you could be making on each one of those uses.
I got paid, I think, $200 for that particular article a couple years ago, and
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's the same, especially around here. And, you know, not to get into the whole union, non-union thing and Virginia being a right-to-work state and all that, but here, if you do a commercial, you know, you get paid, depending on what they decide to pay, it could be a couple $100, it could be 500, it could be 1,000, but that's it. There are no residuals. Unless you do something that's out of state or something that's a union gig, a SAG, then there's scales, I guess, they work with. And I'm not an expert in that whatsoever, so I don't want anybody to think that I know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to the bureaucracy that is SAG. So I, again, talking about eyes glazing over, I've tried to get to the website. I'm like, Jesus. I just want to be a star. I don't want to have to read this shit.
If I wanted to work, I wouldn't be acting.
Oh, what a misnomer that is,
I know. I've actually, looked into some of this stuff thinking, well, I'm lazy, I can act. and then I start going, what, how long? For nothing?
12-hour days? Really? Wow.
Yeah, what is scale? That's like $1 million a day. What, like $100 a day? 14 hours?
Yeah, that's if you're the star, then you get like, you know, $20 million.
Yeah.
When you're background, A, you're lucky to be in focus.
Yeah.
You get paid basically minimum wage. That's basically what it is. When I was out there, I think it was for non-union work, it was $50 bucks a day. Yeah. And a day wasn't like 8 hours. A day was 12 hours.
With a lunch break.
With a lunch break, but you know, you do get fed well when you're on a set like that. You get fed pretty well, and so that's nice. You don't have to worry about food.
So, yeah.
Just lodging, and
the next day you can go pick some oranges. So you've got a good living.
Yeah. Or get them cheap on the corner.
Exactly. People think entertainers from the bottom to the top are all just making crap loads of money.
Oh yeah.
And you know,
we're rolling in it, man. We're rolling in it.
Oh no, I've got like 50,000 views on my YouTube channel, and my wife says, "Well, how much have you made?" It's like $4. I've made $4.50 out of that's. Go buy yourself some pretty things.
$4 worth of candy, sir. That won't even get you Godiva.
I know. I talked to some of these like really big YouTube guys, and they said, "Well, it does take a while, but you know, if you get like 2-3 million subscribers, then yeah, you make some good money."
Oh my God!
I have like 40 subscribers.
Sure, and I'll just go ahead and rob a bank too.
Yeah. So it's
have a better chance of getting notoriety doing that than doing anything on YouTube.
True. And the problem is, and I've had to explain this to my wife, I can't rob a bank because, first of all, I couldn't get away. I'm too slow. My leg hurts. And I stand, if I put a mask over my face, I go, well, some fat guy who can't walk, so that's
really good. Just have one of the little, the scooter thingies.
That's true. Yeah, so most crime is out for me because, you know, combination of can't walk and irritable bowel syndrome, it's like, oh, hold my gun, where's your restroom? Just isn't going to cut it. But
don't push that button.
You pushed it!
Damn it, I'll be back.
I'll be right back.
Check. Two words for you, adult diapers. Problem solved.
Yeah, they don't make a lot of them my size.
Okay.
It's like trying to find a diaper for a third stage guild navigator.
Wow.
I got like 8 of them I stitched together. And
nice.
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty heavy too, especially when they're soiled.
It is. And my wife has suggested that before, and I said, "Dear, just because I'm wearing the diaper doesn't mean people won't smell it."
That's true. and is there kind of a learning curve with those two? I don't know, because it's like that first initial reaction of like, well, you know, I can, but
so
do
it
I
must
want
be,
to?
Must be. Oh, I didn't put it on right. Yeah.
Boss, I need to go home. I've got a little emergency.
I've got a leakage problem.
Yeah. In what sector? Contained right around here.
Yeah. Age is a wonderful
thing. Nothing dangerous. We're all fine here. We're fine. How are you?
How are you?
Oh, if I could bring it. I was just able to bring in a Star Wars reference. Okay, my life is complete right now. So
well,
that's going well.
That's well. As long as you can fit Star Wars into a conversation, you're cool.
So. Yep, that's my goal.
Well, I'm reaching the 30 plus minute mark, so I'm.
Wow, that went fast.
It does. It goes really fast, especially.
I hope I wasn't completely incoherent.
No, you were better than I. I mean, we sort of degraded when we reached the diaper part, but.
What a shitty ending.
Boom!
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to ask. I am allowed to use profanity on this, right?
Hope so.
Okay, a little, I didn't think about asking, you know. I don't know how you're going to use it, so if it's going to be bleep, bleep all the time, that would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I haven't learned how to bleep stuff out, so I just. Put it up there anyway, and eventually somebody... I did have a problem doing ads for the game The Evil Within, because it was classed as shocking content because there are, like, body fluids all over the place. But
in the game? The show?
playing the game, the...
Okay.
I mean, my body fluids are usually out of camera range.
Oh, good, good.
I'm not even wearing pants. That's the thing. So
I may or may not be. We won't know.
Exactly. That's the line between entertainment and porn.
Yes.
Whether or not you're wearing pants. Well, thank you, sir. And,
thank you very much.
Eventually, this will be edited in a normal way on YouTube. It'll be available on Google Plus for a while in this raw, horribly offensive form.
Oh, awesome. Even the part with me talking to my wife. And,
Yeah,
great.
At some point, that expires on Google, but I have no idea when.
That's going to haunt me 5 years from now, isn't it? I'll be on some show and be like, so we were going across YouTube and we found this.
So do you still have that cheap router? Really?
Exactly. No.
2040. Get a new router.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I guess I could plug something. My website, www.williamhpowers.com, and the production company that I'm a part of, that we do stuff every now and then, is brainco.com. That's brainco.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I already messed that one up. Sorry, James. Brainco.productions.com.
Okay.
So we've got some fun stuff up there.
Do you have a YouTube channel as well for that?
I'd have to ask Meredith. She does all the technical stuff, because she does the editing for us.
Okay.
And she uploads all that stuff. So I'm sure we do. I just don't know.
I'll put it in the notes at the bottom of the description of when we get there.
I'll send you a link to it if I can find it.
All right.
Thanks, savvy.
Sir.
Thank you.
Now we know who the hell you are.
Oh, I am William H. Powers, actor.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you. See ya.